Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is OMF on EEI.
Josh Hart counted and won! Here comes New Orleans. Ingram with a chance to pull his team within one. For the tie. Yes! Ingram knocks it at 98. Melly for the lead for three. Got it! Zion, who goes quickly with it against Thompson. Fouled! Counted and one! Zion with the flex. Ingram for the lead. Got it! Butter! This one's done. This might become a small part of Pelicans lore. Biggest comeback. 24 points. They win it 120 to 115.
Hey, Jalen, what eats at you about this loss?
I think we had a tough third quarter, part of the fourth quarter stretch. Would have liked to play better on both ends of the ball. It's a tough loss, man.
Offensively, for the Celtics, they got back to playing my hero basketball.
So what happened to our cute little team? What happened to our cute little team? Remember that team? Maybe they couldn't win a championship, but damn it, they would tease you. Every once in a while, they would come up with a huge effort.
You thought they were close.
And bright, and beat a really good team. Now they're blowing a 24-point lead and losing to the Pelicans in overtime. And by the way, this is the biggest deficit for the Pelicans coming back and winning in the history of their organization.
You know, I always felt like they are always viewed as, you know, a not ready for prime time, overachieving team.
Yes, I think
like,
that's
oh,
fair.
Wow, look what they've been able to accomplish. They're so young. They're so raw.
They're so cute.
You know, their coach is so understanding. Oh, man, he really, you know, can relate to him and talk to him.
He's a great coach.
He's a, yeah, great.
Like Greg Popovich, just younger.
Yeah, he's, you know, so you're just, wow, can't wait till these guys get older. They will dominate because look what they're doing when they're young. Now they're kind of getting older and they got some stubble on their face. They're like, ugh. You are no longer a cute little team. Like I'll be willing to put up with your immaturity when you're cute. Oh, look how cute, man. He almost made that shot.
I was gonna say, Zion Williamson is young too.
Yeah, you know? And but now it's like, okay, well, it's time to do grown up things, which is not give up a 24-point lead. That to me has gotta make your stomach turn a little
bit. The biggest issue with them. I mean, they have two young superstars, or could be superstars in the game, right? Could be. Trending towards that, whatever you want to call it.
They're both all-stars.
They're both all-stars. Yep. They're not starters, but they're both all-stars.
Right.
And then when I look at the rest of the roster, and obviously Kemba's there, and I know we're going to get to him in a minute, but doesn't it, the rest of the roster, you would expect to be like on a rebuild team that's sort of like, we just got like eight kids on our bench that we try to play them all because we want to see if they can play in this league or not. We have a couple of centers that just sort of play the position, right? They are what they are, and Tristan Thompson and Tice. There's really no ceiling. You know, there is no, like, future growth. They could play more consistently, but they are what they are. They're just older guys. But I just look at the rest of the roster, and it's like it just looks like just the NBA draft. Just here, that's your bench, and that's not how teams win. It's just a bunch of kids. It looks like a rebuild roster and two young guys that have been playing at high levels.
Listen, I think they could have a better roster. I think there's no question about that. And that you can blame Danny Ainge for.
Mm-hmm.
Romeo Langford, is he ever going to play again?
By the way, it's like we're approaching March. What was the original timeline? I know, Tyler, you're like an Indiana guy. You're a Romeo guy. I'm sure you follow him daily, checking for his updates. Like,
was
it supposed to be March? Like, because I know this Kemba's out till January, and then Romeo's out maybe a little longer. I thought it was like February 1st.
Marcus Smart is out till March.
But, I mean, is it mid-March? Is he coming back?
So the original timeline was 4 to 5 months starting back in September, early September. And for some reason, there was a pushback. I don't know whether it was health-related or just the schedule. The schedule obviously threw off a lot of things. So
it was early February. It's like the original time frame.
Right. So now he's not due back until after the All-Star break. So it sounds like there was a setback. But he has been working out before games. So that is a little bit of a sign of progress.
Well, he'll help.
Oh, yeah. There's a cavalry.
Score.
Yeah. Hey, Romeo's coming back.
Well, Romeo comes back. He'll be a good defender that can't score.
So I put that all in Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge has to do a...
Another kid.
Yeah, he has to do a better job, okay, of putting that roster together. And there are limitations, we understand, money-wise and whatever. Then you got to do a better job of drafting, maybe. And Pritchett looks like he's a keeper here. But doesn't this really come down to... What is your rotation, Brad Stevens? How is it? I almost think he gets too cute. And in this league, coaches are overrated. Players really control the game. You know, they have a coach in Brooklyn that's a first-time coach. He's never done this before. He's a hell of a player. You watch even the huddles and listen in the huddles. He's not saying much. It's the players who are out there playing and doing it. Brad Stevens tinkers too much with all of these players. I don't want to see 12 guys a night. I want to see 7, maybe 8. I want to come up with a rotation in which you're going to play him. There are nights in which you look at the Time Lord and you say, this kid really is playing well. And then you don't see him in the next game because the matchup is not right. He's overthinking this.
Yeah, you know what? It's last week. I don't know if you were even part of this, Glenn, because you were gone. But we were inventing excuses for the Celtics. Tons of, because it seems like every green teamer, and yes, I'm going to say green teamer, and don't lose your know what because somebody's calling them that. Because it seems like they always want to give the Celtics the benefit of the doubt. It's never their fault. You could sit there and say it was a perfect storm. Their legs were tired. They didn't get any sleep.
They should be better than 15, 15.
Kemba has missed too much. Marcus Smart isn't there. COVID restrictions. You name it, you come up with an excuse. And I was looking for some. So the perfect storm came to mind. Oh, yeah, sure enough. Oh, yeah. The Celtics couldn't hit any shots. And then the Pelicans shot 52% from the field in the fourth corner, and they didn't have one turnover. So they decided to get hot at the right time. As bad luck would have it, you got cold. So it's really not your fault. It's really not that you're a bad team. It's just bad luck catching up to you. It's like once-in-a-lifetime situation. This isn't who you are.
No.
This is an outlier. Here's the reality of it. Teams that are 500, I mean, really, what's the difference between you and the Pistons, who are 8-21?
About the Knicks?
I mean, the Wizards, they're 10-17. The Hawks, all these teams that you lost to are all below 500 teams. So if you cannot beat the teams you're supposed to beat, you will never be in the postseason, let alone get to the finals.
Listen, they lost their focus. They lost their energy.
Another excuse?
Everything. No,
fourth
that's
quarter
not
let
an
down.
Excuse. That's not an excuse.
Come on, make some for them.
No, that's passive play. That is on them. That is all their fault. Now, if you're looking at a bigger picture as to what is wrong with this team, if you look at it last year, you had Gordon Hayward, you had Kemba Walker for the first half of the season, and you had Marcus Smart. To me, you have none of those three players that you had last year. I take it back. Maybe you had Kemba from the second half of the season. Kemba's not the same player. He isn't. He's supposed to be one of your key scorers. He doesn't bring an awful lot of other things to the table unless we're going to go back to, oh, he's wonderful in the locker room. He's so much better than Kyrie Irving was. He can't compare as a player, an all-around player to Kyrie. When he's not scoring, they have problems because they're easy to defend because you can put two guys on Tatum. You can double Brown, especially when only one of them is on the floor. And Lou brought that up earlier. A lot of times you take one of them off the floor. That means Kemba has to do something. How many times have you seen Kemba with an open jump shot because of the defensive focus on the other two guys? A lot. And he misses it. Clang. When they win, go look it up. He's usually shooting well.
Yeah, his numbers.
When they don't, it's terrible. They lose.
Yeah, I just don't think big picture he's your problem.
I think he's a big problem.
I mean, I look at, and I know last night, obviously, 1-for-12 from three, awful night shooting, 5-for-21 in the game. But I'm looking at his previous four games where he shot 50% from the floor and averaged 23 points a game. So I think for him, there's inconsistencies. You know, because he's had a few duds. There's no question. Three, four, five of them, whatever it is. But I don't know what's going on with the knee. I'm more concerned about the health. You know, how long they're going to keep sitting him for games. I know back-to-backs, they're not going to play him. But it just, it seems like when he back-to-backs, he doesn't play. That next game, he comes back. Like this past night, he took a night off. He went missed the first Atlanta game, came out, and put up 28.
Yep.
On 62% shooting, 5 for 8 from three.
So you're right. It might be physical, and that may be affecting his mechanics and shooting and everything else.
Even the game before.
Like, that's a problem.
He missed a game against Detroit, came out against Washington, put up 25 on 9 from 18 shooting. So when he sits, he comes out and he plays well. So I don't know if it's health.
Doesn't work with the schedule, though. No, I agree. I think it probably is health.
Yeah. But I think if it's health, you know, then they got to manage it. But I still think big picture, like he's still there. He's got to get healthy. He's had some bad games here. But when he plays bad, yeah, that tells you how much they need a third scorer. Why? Because they don't have a single person other than Kemba,
right,
other than those other two guys, that can go out there and give you an offensive night.
Well, and he's giving it up at the other end. Because
but that's why when he shoots bad, they lose, because they don't have any other options.
Correct. So they need him, because I think you're getting a lot out of Tatum. You're getting a lot out of Jaylen Brown. I know he struggled a little bit lately, but you couldn't expect him to continue shooting over 50% from three-point territory. That was not going to continue, and it's leveling off right now. But he's still playing really well, as is Tatum. The problem is, after that, and if you're a team, you're playing the Boston Celtics, what are you going to do? We're going to shut down Tatum. We're going to shut down Brown. At least we're going to shut down one of them. And then let somebody else beat us.
So the thing is, automatically you start, looking to point fingers at somebody. Whose fault is it? And obviously you point to Brad Stevens. You know, Brad isn't getting mad, so nobody's listening to him. People are tuning him out. And I started thinking of Dwayne Casey. So here's a guy that was like coach of the year, always in the playoffs, always getting bounced way too early, like the second round, getting bounced in the playoffs, right? He'd always get bounced in the second round. And then suddenly they get rid of him because they decide, and this is before they end up getting Kawhi Leonard, but they just decide that they're way too talented. And even though he's, a really good coach, something was missing. So they decided to switch gears. I do feel like there can be that kind of, situation where maybe he isn't the right guy. Like maybe, like if you got a different personality, even for the short term, because, eventually every coach gets tuned out, maybe that would put you over the hump.
It was interesting. He answered that question. Somebody asked him the question the other day, asked Brad Stevens whether the players were tuning him out or not. And obviously he doesn't think they're tuning him out. And I think Danny Ainge was asked the same question in the past week. I think coaches are overrated in the NBA. I don't think they are in the NFL.
Hold on, Glenn, to your point. So you say, he says, no, I don't think they're tuning him out. Like, okay, in all your basketball life, and there's been a long, long basketball life, what does tuning out the coach look like while the game is being played? Like, what do you think? So a team is tuning the coach out. What does that look like to you?
I don't think you can see it out on the court. You see talented players suddenly become disinterested in games over a period of time.
Okay, what does that look like?
Is that fair to say?
Okay, energy, hustle. I would say hero ball is mentioned. When teams, hey, listen, I'm telling you to move the ball, right? Ball movement. We know what it looks like.
It's a movement
and then
of the ball.
You don't do it. Wait, so I'm telling you to move the ball. You're not doing it. That is what tuning out a coach looks like. Well, I don't trust him. I don't believe him.
So
I'm going to do it myself.
Do you think they're tuning out Brad Stevens?
Well, I just think it's an interesting, concept because you can't you're lazy, so you say, they're tuning the coach out. Okay, well, before you do that, what does that even look like in the NBA? All I hear is hero ball. I see lack of energy. I see the Pelicans coming back in the fourth quarter, trapping Jason Tatum, trapping, double-teaming Jaylen Brown, forcing other guys to make plays, Kemba throwing up bricks when it matters. To me, that's what tuning out a coach looks like.
Yeah, and I like, because Gary Washburn.
Move the ball, no.
Gary Washburn, to me, I like it because I felt like he had a little edge here today. Remember, last week, he was the one that said to tune out the coach. Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge kind of said that was ridiculous, right? Scal, even at the end of one of those games, on the broadcast, called out Gary Washburn for making those kind of comments. So Wash comes out today and basically says that Brad Stevens couldn't make the adjustment. I mean, it was a couple things that the New Orleans Pelicans did in the second half, and Brad just couldn't figure it out.
I think he's right.
Like, I feel like now he's like sort of digging in a little bit, right? He was talking about, you know, double teaming Tatum, double teaming Brown. It really shouldn't come as a surprise. We've seen teams do it all the time. What are you going to do to combat that? No adjustment. Zion Williamson going to a point guard, right? Taking the ball to the basket, not trying to stop the penetration. As he said, he only stopped it once, and it was an overtime when he kicked it out to Ingram. Other than that, he let him go to his left. So I feel like Wash is sort of digging in on him a little bit with Brad Stevens. And I kind of like that.
Because
he got called out publicly by everybody last week.
But also because it's obvious.
Yeah,
because
he's right.
There's the excuse makers, and I would say Washburn would kind of, you know, in the past has kind of been in that camp.
Well, how about this line? Stevens could never put his players in a position to succeed. So that was a line that Danny used. That how nobody's more into it and passionate about it, and our coach puts guys in position to succeed. And Washburn puts in his article, just casually, Stevens could never put his players in position to succeed or combat a simple trap defense. And then he says, and the players, they fail to make shots. Little dig from Washburn. I kind of like that.
See, I think that makes some sense. That, I don't know if any of those players are tuning him out, Christian, and I don't know how you really tell unless over a long period
of time. Well, that's why I was asking
they
you.
They vastly underachieve. You can't tell.
But it looks like it, though.
If you're not around them and you're not hearing it, if you're around the players, one of these media people, and they're not really around them right now because of COVID, but if you're around them and a player's talking on the QT and saying, oh, my God, we're tuning him out, then you start hearing
rolling
some
your
of those
eyes.
Things. Yeah, you start hearing
but, you know,
some of those
listen
things.
To Jason Tatum post game. Let's hear that real quick because he's talking about the guys around him and playing with him. Go ahead.
There are a lot of plays in the fourth quarter where the play was set up to get you the ball on the move, and then when New Orleans would shut it down, you would a lot of the times have to kick out and kind of reset into a post up or an isolation. Do you feel like everyone's on the same page about how to proceed after that first action breaks down?
I don't know. It's just more so reading who's out there with you. Knowing who's hot, knowing who has a mismatch, just being instinctual. I think that's just part of playing basketball. Because at that point, you know, was making the right read.
At least he's answering the question.
Yeah. Speaking of not answering the question, let's just go to Jaylen Brown real quick, too, because I don't know people getting tired of this kind of answer, but this is Jaylen Brown.
Seeing a trend, especially in the fourth quarter, where a play, you'll get to the first action, the defense stops it, and then there's kind of a bit of a panic on, like, what to do from there. Do you feel like everyone's kind of on the same page of how to continue to proceed when a play isn't hitting right away?
No comment.
See, to Keith me. Smith.
Second time in 2 weeks.
Yeah, because it was last week after the Washington loss. Another team that is,
bad.
Well, now they're 10-17.
That was about
the time.
Moving the ball.
You
right?
guys hit a high watermark with 30 assists against Toronto. Since then, it seems like your ball movement has just really slipped. What do you think is behind that?
Belichick.
I know, right? Wow.
Hello.
No comment.
Again.
Yeah, this is not good. Answering questions
no
like that. Yeah, that's
he's
not good.
Now,
he's got he knows exactly what the problem is, and yet he won't reveal it. But it's even worse when you say with a four or five second pause.
I think it's like these guys are proven that they can be stars in this game. They're all stars, okay? And when you go to Jason Tatum saying, well, it's just more of showing knowing who's out there with you when things aren't going well. You know, who's hot, mismatches, everything else. Jaylen Brown. You know, what did the guys know what to do when plays collapse? No comment.
No comment. I
feel like these two guys, and Kemba, because he's accomplished a lot in the game, even though he's got his own inconsistencies right now. If those two were just in a room and they just say, you know, what do we have around us right now? Like our team. They've been on teams the last 2 or 3 years. You know, again, that I've mentioned, they had guys like a Marcus Morris kind of coming in and starting or coming off the bench as a sixth man. I think those guys just look around and they know. They know they're out there in the fourth quarter with Nesmith and Pritchard. Two guys are promising, but you know they're still rookies. Like they shouldn't be playing in the fourth quarter for you.
Yeah, but they've got some other players. Tristan Thompson has played a lot better in the last couple of weeks. Daniel Tice is a good role player. I'm not
Robert Williams and 10 points tonight.
He is a good role player who can bail you out.
Surrounded by role players is the point. They're not surrounded. I mean, like, not even questionable role players.
That's why Kemba's a problem.
Young
Kemba's
role
not
players.
A role player. Kemba's a legitimate all-star. He's got to be able to score. And again, it might be physical with him. But the one thing I would say about Brad Stevens that I would throw back to Brad Stevens, and I think that's what these questions are about and what Washburn was talking about, and that is, you know what teams are doing. It's obvious. Teams are going to come out and trap your two superstars. What you need to do is they need to give the ball up and get the ball right back. That's what you need to do. You need to devise some actions so that you can open some of that stuff up, because those are the only two guys you can depend on in scoring. So you can't let the defense just shut them down and have guys like Kemba Walker and others that you were mentioning, Lou, firing up threes and you know, missing continuously. You're not going to win those games. You got to get back to Jalen Brown, and that's probably where the frustration stems with those two guys. I would say that, Christian, that is on Brad Stevens. The rest of it, I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, I know, but when someone says, hey, how does tuning out play out on the court, then I think you saw yesterday. Hey, ball movement, no. Hey, don't, no, hey, hear well, a ball. We all have to work as a team. No.
It's a pattern.
Well, so you've come to expect this. And then the other excuse tends to be, hey, you know, it should never come to this. Like, to me, if you're the guy that says it should never come to this, and you had delusions of grandeur when it came to this team, you thought, like, oh, my God, they're such a veteran team with so much experience, and 3 out of 4, Eastern.
Oh, they're not a veteran team.
They're not.
Well, they're not even,
like, they have this history. They have all this experience, like, this playoff experience.
No.
Like, two of them do. Kemba, I mean, do we really?
Kemba didn't spend a lot of time in the playoffs.
Not in Charlotte, and then last year he sucked right. in the playoffs.
And again, I think the game has changed, and I think it's a problem for him, and specifically when you get into the playoffs. But you look at these other teams and teams that have two main players, and they're getting it done right now. And I look at a lot of these other teams, and I don't see great bench play out there.
And you know what they're doing right now, which is,
well, most teams have a good 6th, 7th man.
Yeah, like, they you know go what I mean? 7 deep. Well, right now you've got no Marcus Smart. That's
well, he's just starting.
And that
5.
Is a problem.
All right, so take Ojale out of the starting lineup, or take Tristan Thompson out of the starting lineup. Like, you know, you still don't have a 6th man. You know, Utah's playing great. Ingles, and they got Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench.
Both been great, by the way.
Yeah, they've been outstanding.
He's had a great year.
So I mean, it's like they go 7 strong with adults.
Right.
You know, I mean, most teams have 7 adults.
Yep.
You know, they don't sit there and say, who's your 6th, 7th man? Well, 2 kids we just drafted. We like. Well, that's great. You can like them all you want, but they shouldn't be a 6th, 7th man if your team is serious.
Well, that's why Kemba is so important to their success, Lou, is because he's one of those adults in the room. He's also a guy that's capable on any given night of putting up 30. So if you're going to overplay Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, then Kemba's got to light it up. And once Kemba does, it forces that defense now to change up how they play, and it opens up stuff for those two guys. If he's not doing it, and you have nobody else capable of doing it, some of the other games they've won is because Pritchett. They won one game because Pritchett had 22 points, if you remember.
What if
they
I told somebody you else? That Kemba Walker is making one less shot a night on the same attempts a night as he did last year? One less shot.
Well, what are the statistics? Tyler's got them of what their win loss record is.
The point is like he's had some bad nights. He's also had some really good nights. Last year he averaged 15.9 shots a game. This year 15.5. Last year he made 6.8. This year 5.7.
I tell you what,
less shot a game. Like he's had great nights here for this team. He had 28 two nights ago, and he's mixed in some bad ones. Like 4 of them.
There's a lot of bad ones.
4 of them.
I think there are more than 4.
Well, I think there are more than 4.
When you look at shooting percentage, I think there are more than 4, and he's getting a lot of open looks right now because of the overplay on the other two guys. He really is. He's getting a lot of open looks.
He really should be feasting.
He's getting Marcus Smart open looks out there.
He should be feasting.
Yes.
Like if you're just a shooter, you should be feasting. Hey, they're going to double team him. Who's single covered? Who's got a wicked crossover step back and is known for his shooting ability, not his defense? He should be if they're going to do that, he should get 28 points a night.
Yeah, they're going at him at the other end too. They're just running pick and roll and going right at him, and his guy is lighting him up. So he has to score a lot, because at the end of the night, if you're looking at the plus minus with him against whoever is defending him, or vice versa, it's a minus every single night. He's got to put up a lot of points. That's the one thing he brings to the table, and that means shooting percentage has got to be better. Threes have got to be better. Timely threes have got to be better. If he had hit too late in the fourth quarter in that game last night, they never would have gone in
overtime. See, the timely shooting in the fourth quarter and in overtime from a guy like Kemba who didn't make any. He didn't make any. He didn't give you
–
he didn't break the streak. He didn't, you know, he didn't slow down the momentum. Nothing. So they lose the possession. It goes back. They hit some shots. And next thing you know, the game is over. Like, how the hell do we lose this
game? It is the frustrating thing because, you know, this is a team, a young core. Guys like Tatum and Brown that have been in the Eastern Conference Finals now, right? Everybody keeps talking about it. 3 or 4 years, a couple years for Tatum, whatever. Kemba Walker's on this team. They are 29th in the league in fourth quarter net rating. 29th in the league. Like, it's awful. They're one of the worst fourth quarter teams in the league. It's like a carryover from what we saw last year against Miami.
Yeah.
And it has continued, like, that whole series. And part of this offense, to be honest with you, has gotten me to kind of dislike, you know, and I shouldn't dislike anything to do with Jason Tatum's game, but it has. Because it just seems like you try to run a couple plays, and if it doesn't work, one set play, then it's just kick the ball out to Tatum. He takes two steps back, gets some momentum, fade away three. Like, iso ball. Like, it just, it infuriates me. Like, when I just see, well, and you shouldn't be infuriated by anything you see with Tatum. He's a great player. But when the thing breaks down, there's 12 seconds left in the clock, 10 seconds, give it to Tatum. Here we go, iso ball. And we can sit there, and Doris Burke did it. Fawn all over him when he makes this incredible step back three with someone
he
in their
does
face.
Love his game.
Loves his game.
Yeah.
But when he missed the three or four or five or six others last night, there was no comment. You know, tough shot, whatever. Like, you know, so it's just, I don't know. That's a stat I would like to know. Jason Tatum
saying.
On ISO like that fadeaway three. What is his percentage on that play?
Well, and he traveled on that one play that they gave him the basket on that fadeaway. But I will say this. He altered and he drove the lane and put up a floater shortly after that. I really don't. I hear what you're saying, Lou. I just don't have any complaints because he still is the one guy I can depend on in the fourth quarter. He's the one guy that I can still depend on. I can't depend on a lot of other guys. By the way, did they announce that they're having fans over at the TD Garden for games yet?
What are they doing in Brooklyn?
Ask Greg Hill.
No. Whatever they're doing in Brooklyn. Whatever they're doing in New York.
So I was out last week for a few days, took my son to schools, and I saw a game in person in Phoenix.
Wow.
In Phoenix.
How was that experience?
And I tell you what, it's the safest way of anything you're doing right now. Going to the grocery stores, going to Home Depot or Lowe's or any of these other places. So you get the tickets first of all. Everything obviously is done through your phone. You have to show up at a certain, at the arena. Then they put you through a testing process to test, and it's basically questions and things like that.
Is it pass-fail?
They were doing some temperature stuff. It's pass-fail, so it'll be easy for you.
No COVID test prior to entry?
No COVID test prior required to do it. Then they put your group together, and they say you stand there, and then each group comes into the building. There's no co-mingling in the hallways. People are moving, but you're moving just with your group. You get in there, and then the refreshment stuff is all in cases. So they have, if you want beer, if you want a Coke or whatever you want, they're all in cases. And then they have food all prepackaged in another refrigerated case. You grab all your stuff. You take your phone and use Apple Pay or some type of thing off your phone onto a machine. No people. There's nobody working in there. And you do all of that. And then you go up to your seat and they put you take you up to your seat and they call it your pod. So nobody's in the luxury
like the restaurant
suite.
Pods, like they have in the outdoor
no,
restaurants?
No, all you're doing is you're taking up four seats.
So are you doing
seats,
this
whatever.
With, like, you said, like a group of people? Like people?
I went with there were four of us.
Yeah.
So we had four seats, and what they do is they tie down all of the other seats that people can't sit in. So you can't use, you can't move around. There are no seats. They're all tied up.
Yeah.
So there were four seats available in our section. There was nobody to the right, to the left, behind, or in front of us that was closer than 20 to 25
So how many people
feet.
Can they fit in that with that kind
3,000.
Of... 3,000. Really?
No, they what if you 3, have, now what if you have to go to the bathroom? Is you have to like raise your hand?
You can go to the bathroom, but every other stall is closed or urinal is covered.
Okay, so it's not like, see, because I thought it would be okay, group two, you can go to the bathroom. Like no, when they were like, the they would regulate it.
Section 232, okay. It's now your time to
but
go to
I
the
will
bathroom.
Say this. I will yes, say this.
I thought it was going to be
they
like
do, they do have the COVID police because think about it. You're going in, you're getting drinks, and you have to get them out of the case yourself. No,
loitering.
And by the way, no cash. You can't. Because they can't give you
change. How many people did you see just grabbing drinks and running away and not paying?
No, they had security standing up there watching them. Oh, yeah. And so what happens is when you get to your seat, you have everybody's got to have a mask on at all times.
The whole game?
Yes.
So what about when you're eating?
So that's the thing. You can take a sip when you're drinking or a bite, but you have to put the mask back on because there were probably three times security came over and somebody in my party, they said, please put your mask back on.
So if you're sweating, can you wipe the sweat off your forehead?
I don't know if that's allowed or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, see.
But I would say this.
I don't want to go.
Guys, you don't come in contact with other people.
Well, how
you're
was
nowhere
the experience?
Near other people.
Other than like.
Was it a pain in the ass?
Yeah. Was it a pain in the ass? Like, okay,
no.
It was cool to do because you haven't done it in so long. Would you do it again? Was it cool?
Yeah, I would do it again. And the thing you guys would love is we were sitting behind the Brooklyn bench. Kyrie did not play that night. KD did not play that night. By the way, they were down by 22 to the Suns, and they came back and won it. Harden hit a shot with a couple seconds left in the game. But the amazing part about it was that people were heckling Kyrie and KD nonstop. They were heckling them. So it was like the old days, except there were 3,000, and you
like
could
Cam
hear.
Like Cam Newton heckling? Like,
yes,
hey, you're
could.
Poor.
No, you could hear every word.
It's common.
So that when people are heckling you, it's not just a bunch of noise. You're hearing everything. Because once the music stopped, people would start yelling. You could hear every single word. Because I had somebody in my party that was one of those people that was screaming at
being
Kyrie,
you, probably being the person.
At Kyrie the whole time. So I don't know. I would say this, guys. It's as safe as anything you have right now with all of the precautions that we're dealing with COVID. And even when you're leaving, They're orderly in the way that you go with your group and you separate from the group in front of you as you're going out. I was impressed with it. I thought they did. I thought they did.
Well, you should tell the governor
soon. Yeah.
Should do it here. All right. 617-779-7937. Cam Newton spoke today. He had an awful lot to say and he had an interesting situation at his 7-on-7 camp over the weekend. We'll get to all of that as well right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. I don't know how this is going to play with the people that want anyone but Cam Newton as your quarterback next season. Be displeased to know he really wants to come back. He loves it here. Everything was pretty good for him, except one problem he had, and that was after he had COVID, then things became a little bit difficult.
What the hell happened after COVID? Okay, I use the analogy today. So from Atlanta, Georgia originally, right? I'm coming to Miami. I was driving to Miami, two different cars. Everybody's on the same wave. I'm following this car. I make a phone call to the front car and say, hey, I got to get some gas, but y'all go on. Boom, they still gone. I get some gas, get some food, stop by McDonald's, whatever.
There you go.
No, you know, but they're gone. And then by the time I get back on the road, I'm behind. So, and I was one of the first athletes, football players to catch it. And I'm over here like, man, how did I get it? Where did it come from? You know what I mean? And everybody's in this panic mode, as we should still be. You know, it just happened so fast. And when I came back, it was something that's where the lack of offseason, that's the lack of having time really being invested in a system kind of showed itself.
So Cam really opened up on I Am Athlete with Brandon Marshall. Fred Taylor used to be with the Patriots for a short period of time, as was Ocho Cinco. He was all part of this. I get the analogy. On the other hand, he was asymptomatic. He was in on all of the Zoom meetings that they were having for that 8, 9, 10 days that he couldn't show up physically. What are we talking about here? What?
I like the analogy as well. I just don't know that there's much truth behind it.
No.
Because you mentioned it, right? He missed that Kansas City game, bye week, whatever it was after that. They missed another week. So basically like 10 days he was away from the team, right?
Yes.
But correct me if I'm wrong, like at least maybe 7 or 8 of them, everyone else was away as well. Everyone
doing
was
Zoom
away.
Meetings.
They right? shut the facility.
They shut everything down. So yeah. Everybody was doing Zoom meetings. And I think that he even mentioned, I think Bill mentioned he's doing the Zoom meetings. He was in on the Zoom meetings. But more importantly, this analogy that, you know, I pulled off to get some gas and something to eat, and they just kept driving. So what he's saying is that 10 days later, he's out, still in Zoom meetings. When he came back, Josh McDaniels looked at him and said, listen, you got to catch up. We've changed up a lot of things, and we're not slowing down for you. Even though you're the quarterback and you run my offense, I'm going to change everything to the point where you got to catch up. You're confused. Hang with him. And if you don't figure it out, so be it. Your play's going to suck. Does anybody believe that Josh McDaniels would move that forward enough to where this guy is completely lost? He only missed 2 in-person practices, didn't he?
Yeah, so what was
maybe
his
3?
So don't you eventually catch up, Christian? What was his problem in week 9, week 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, forever?
Well, that's my point. So, because I will cut him some slack just after COVID. And, you know, even though he said there was no COVID fog, I will cut him some slack. The first game he played was against the Denver Broncos. And if you remember how that game ended, it was, who was it? The miscommunication between N'Keal Harry and him as they were driving down to win the game. So there was no communication. Okay, fine. That's not you not knowing the calls. That's not you, you know, not understanding what's going on. That's not the offense being farther ahead of you than you are. And I'm with Lou on this one. This just, I love the fact that he loves the analogies and he's good at them. So it forces you to, you know, engage with him and, you know, relate to him and, you know, forget about what the real issues are. To me, what I've seen from Cam Newton is one big giant excuse tour. Everything's just some weird excuse that, like, if you dig into it, you're like, nah, that's not true. Like, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying the fact that Josh McDaniels, with all his experience, said, you know what? He'll catch up. No way.
I'm going to change all the plays. Hey, you know what? I got a great idea. Let's pull a prank on Cam. We're going to change all the protections.
Right.
We're going to change all the calls, and we're going to invent a whole new language. Okay? And then let's give him a wristband with everything in Spanish. Let's see if he can really. He will figure it out. How stupid is that?
I think the big thing against it, too, is that the entire team was away from practice.
Yes.
Everybody was on Zoom.
That's right.
So I think that they made a comeback to practice. Like when he played, he came back for a walkthrough, whatever. But they had only practiced that Thursday and Friday leading up to that game. The team, they shut the facility down. Nobody was allowed to go. So they were all on Zoom going over what they need to do, or whatever adjustments they need to make. I just don't see – if that was the case, then put all the blame on Josh McDaniels. There's no way in hell you can leave your quarterback, your starting quarterback, back in the dust 10 days from now when he shows up, says, we've changed everything, good luck catching up.
And it's not
– you can't do
it's
that.
It's not 5 weeks. Wait, you didn't play a game.
No, it's 3 days of practice, so, maybe two.
Okay, I get it.
Everything was Zoom.
Go ahead. You hit on this a long time ago, Christian, and I think you're right. What he does, he's very clever. He plays the loyal game, won't say a bad word about Josh or Bill, and he does the same thing here. Wonderful organization. All they care about is winning, and it's all geared towards winning. And if you don't want to win, you don't go there. And hell yeah, I'm coming back. I want to come back. He does all of that. And then at the same time, with that smirk on his face, he does give you the excuses as to why he's not playing at a high level.
If you don't have the right ear, you're going to miss it. I call him High Road Cam.
That's good.
He takes high road on everything. So you forget that he's a terrible quarterback. Right. You give him the benefit of the doubt because he's high roading the hell out of you. He's doing the right thing. He's saying the right things. And if you listen to it, you can filter through all the bull crap, and then you can hear the excuses. Who is going to fall for this? Hey, I came back and they changed all the verbiage. They changed all the plays. Okay, how many? What did they have, three new plays to what? To take advantage of your skill set?
Well, this is the one I love, where he talks about the system. Now, we all know, because we watched it this year, it was not the same system they were running with Tom Brady. And it can't be, because he has a totally different skill set. He used as an excuse that he was trying to learn a system, a 20-year system, in 2 months. Listen to this.
By the time I came back, I didn't feel comfortable. Physically, skillfully, and a lot of that discomfort came pre-snap. I've always valued my talents as something that's the improv. I'm gonna make a play. I know how to make a play. I'm going, in this system, it dictates, by certain things and working extra with, Josh. Throughout those times, there was times where it's just like, hold on, am I supposed to set Wadeti? And I'm like, I'm thinking too much. Yeah. The offense kept going, and I was stopped and stagnant for a week, 2 weeks. And then by the time I came back, it was new terminology and it was new. I was like, hold on. But go back to level one. I wasn't just trying to learn a system for what it was. I was learning a 20-year system.
Correct.
In 2 months.
Correct. He's getting validated. That's the sick part. Yeah, two knobs are agreeing with him. Oh, yeah, yeah.
This explicit is calculus.
It really is absurd.
They changed the verbiage.
Hold on. 2 weeks they changed. Are you kidding me?
Why? Who's falling for this?
They changed the terminology in 2 weeks?
Just to screw with them.
Again, he was on the Zoom meetings.
Yes.
The entire team was on Zoom meetings. They shut the facility down. So what he missed was actually probably only two practices before he came back.
Plus, he also just admitted to us that it wasn't physical. It was the mental aspect of the game, because he was asymptomatic.
But this whole thing of Tom Brady was there for 20 years. He knew it in the back of his hand. It was that system, and I tried to learn it in 2 months. I watched these games last year. There was a lot of plays that Tom Brady, they never had before. Quarterback draws, whatever. Goal line, quarterback, out to the right, out to the left. Roll right, roll left.
You don't remember Brady bootlegging a lot of times? No.
So it didn't. This wasn't the Tom Brady offense. Bill famously, and even Josh McDaniels said, we're going to put this offense around the skill set of our quarterback. And Bill, Cam Newton's got a different skill set than Tom Brady. The terminology, I'm sure, was similar than what's been in the past. But to think that he's They didn't ask him to run a Tom Brady offense.
I have a hard time. Okay, fine. I get it. So you have a week where it's 10 days where it's nuts. But you played great in the first game. You played good in the second game, almost won the game. Julian Edelman had a record amount of receptions, yards. By the time you played the Raiders, they figured you out. They understood what was going on. They knew how to beat you. The system didn't move ahead of you. Josh McDaniels wasn't in the lead car driving and trying to, run away from you so you couldn't catch up. Like that wasn't the case. And then again, what happened in the last seven games of the season? What happened week 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16? Did you finally catch up to them? Did you understand the verbiage?
No,
he's got everybody.
He's high-roading it. You're right.
He's a high. So this was roading the hell out of everybody.
This was Josh McDaniels at the end of September talking about the difference between a Cam Newton and a Brady offense. He said it's different. There's certainly a huge chunk of what we've been able to try to do in the past that we're going to continue to try and do. But you take certain strengths of each player, and in this particular case, we're talking about the quarterback. You take the strengths of the players that you have, and you try to put them in position to be successful that they have the most confidence in. Whether it's some version of an adjustment of the running game, some ability to use his legs or size and strength, we tried to do some of all that stuff. Now, this line. At the same time, the most important thing for us and for Cam is to run the offense. Does that sound like a guy that's going to just leave his quarterback in the dust 10 days later and say,
and
hey,
by the time
good
I
luck.
Get back on the road, I'm behind.
Good luck. Catch up.
Lou, how about this one? So he talks about the offense being so far advanced and ahead of him. So you're telling me Ryan Izzo just had a master class in running tight end routes because he was so good. In 10 days, you couldn't understand what he was doing. Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry, like all these routes that you were running. So you get to the line of scrimmage. There's not like there's five guys like running routes and you have five different adjustments and hot reads and 30 seconds to do it. Like this is the emperor with no clothes on. And then everyone assuming that this guy is just got it. Like, I am not buying it at all. He's a desperate guy that wants a job, and he's being validated by his buddies who want him to continually to get another job. So they're basically, in my opinion, lying for him. Oh, yeah, man, that ain't you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A whole offseason in an offense.
That's what players
not being
do.
Sick. Oh, hey, come on. I'm not buying it.
That's what they do. Hey, I got to get some gas, but y'all go on.
Please. So there's one thing to talk about Tom Brady in the same sentence with Cam Newton, and that's probably not fair because I would say that Brady figured out the system during the course of the season with a brand new team, and they went to the Super Bowl. I'll take him out of the equation. How about, what's the kid's name? Taylor Heinicke. Okay. How about him? He was with the team. He joined Washington the first week of December, and he played well in a playoff game a month later.
How about Jalen Hurts? How about all these guys?
How do they learn it all?
How do these guys that are young, inexperienced, immature, how do they figure it out? The constant, camouflage of excuses is nauseating.
Well, how about this one? I saw SportsCenter. They tweeted this out. Just a picture of Cam. Heisman winner, national champ winner, number one overall pick, NFL MVP, Super Bowl appearance, Panthers all-time leader in pass yards and touchdowns. Cam Newton deserves respect.
Set wide, Eddie.
So, and again, it's to your
respect
point.
Respect from a teenage kid at his camp, I agree.
But
he does.
I'm just saying, I think it's just more than that. More than that. Like Christian said, he takes the high road. Everybody loves this guy so much. What it sounds like to me is an aging quarterback, an aging athlete that can't face the fact that physically he can't do it anymore. So it's, I didn't have time to adjust. We all admit, some of this stuff, I get it. It's real. Like, he didn't have time.
Yep.
His weapons weren't great.
Yep.
But then, coming out of COVID, and I didn't understand the offense, and they moved on without me, and I was thinking too much. And it's just, it's a guy that's sitting there making excuses because the reality is you can't look at the other side of it. The other side is I didn't execute. I can't make those throws anymore. My arm isn't what it once was. I'm not accurate. Like, I'm not the same guy. And not every athlete can see that or figure that out at the end of their career. This is, to me, what it sounds like.
This will play well because you're right, Christian. He's high-roading it, and people will buy into it because the way he presents it. Now, we talked about lack of wide receivers and even gets into the whole N'Keal Harry. Listen to this.
He didn't. It's not to say that they weren't or that they can't be.
They can't. It's different.
And since we're being honest,
it's levels.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I do think Doughboy, I call him Nikhil Harry. He was battered. There's a real thing when they say the New England way, the Patriot way. And
now, what is that? What do you mean? I don't know what that is. Y'all play. Y'all know. Y'all tell
it's,
me.
It's an aura where, bro, you're a machine. Like literally, when I did one of the games, I gave them my routine. Bro, I'm waking up at 4:20, bro, just to be out of the house at 4:45. Driving down the highway, I'm walking into the facility at 5:15, kind of like 5:20. But at the same time, you have to compartmentalize your feelings, compartmentalize your personal life, compartmentalize everything to enhance your mental stamina.
My God.
It doesn't matter about it's 8 o'clock at night. We have to watch film. We have
about.
To, you know, get these
it's
certain things done.
Yeah. It's your job.
What is he talking about, Christian?
Can't mental stamina.
Do it anymore.
That's his definition
I
of Patriot
can't
Way.
Do it. Oh, it's an aura. It's an aura. Really? I'm telling you, he's got everybody fooled. He's running out of adjectives. He's running out of cliches to use. It's like the more interviews that he does, the more exposed he becomes. What is the, well, you know what? I wake up at 4, okay. Hey, they expect me to do a job. Okay. They expect me to be focused. Oh, all right. How is that any different from you when you were in Carolina? Who is his coach in Carolina? I forgot what his name is. He's in Washington now.
I just like the fact.
Ron Rivera. You think Ron Rivera is like, hey, you're good.
You don't get up at 4:15?
Hey, I'm a military. Hey, no, you're good. You're
4:25?
Good. You know, just, hey, you know what? Here at Carolina,
4:20.
We just show up. What the F is this dude talking about? I'm so tired of guys that could not be productive or excel down in Foxborough using the Patriot way as an excuse. You know what? They demanded a lot from me. I was sacrificed. I was away from my family. Really? Get in line. You're not the first dude that had a family that was playing in another state that was getting up early. Wow! Do your voice. Do your wah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the poor baby.
There it is.
Oh.
There it is. Why'd you wait so long for that?
Oh, you poor kid.
You got to wake up early.
But that was, he came back later in this interview, and again, the Patriot way. Because Brandon Marshall was just like, what is it? And he thought he saw some of it with Josh in Denver. But he came back again and said the best way to describe the Patriot way is mental stamina.
What's that mean?
Like just have just be locked in all the time about winning. Mental stamina.
Shouldn't every player do that with any team?
You know what? I do not know. I was not as stressed out as him. I was not. Listen. I don't think I'm alone. I did not wake up and go, okay, I gotta, sorry, babe, I'm about to be a jerk right now because I gotta lock it in.
Come back with Damien.
I gotta lock it in. And until I get home, when I get home, I'm gonna sit in my car for like 10 minutes so I can decompress and leave that, because it's like being in prison. It's a tough life out there, and only the strong survive. You know what I mean? Like, stop exaggerating it, dude. Like, quit acting like this is the toughest situation in your life. I get it. It was easy in Auburn. I get it. They rolled out the red carpet for you in Carolina until they recognized that you couldn't do it anymore. Like, there's a reason why you weren't picked for 86 nights. So stop trying to sell me on all these excuses for why you couldn't do it or why you just. Listen, I get it. You want another year. We all do.
That's what it's all about.
You want another year. But it's. I feel like it's becoming really just obvious how desperate you are.
Yeah, so what he's doing is, that's a message for, and again, he said, I'd love to come back. Oh, absolutely. Hell yes, I want to come back. But what he's doing is exactly that, Christian.
That was the worst. That was the worst excuse, of the worst example.
Yeah, that was bad.
Definition of the Patriot way I think I've ever heard.
He is
mental stamina.
I think it's the worst. Oh, it's an aura. That's it? Hey, man, I got to wake up at 4. Okay, man, I don't want to wake up early.
At least he didn't stop in McDonald's. Do they have vegan stuff at McDonald's?
I can't do
maybe
it.
They do, yeah.
I can't do it. I'm done.
What he's doing is he's trying to sell himself now to other general managers and owners that it wasn't my fault. So you saw me last year. You didn't see the real Cam. You're going to see the real Cam if you bring me in.
Yeah.
All right, this hour of OMF brought to you by Tingling Home Services, where they have great job packages for experienced HVAC techs and electricians. Well, WEEI was part of Red Sox Weekend Media Session. but not in the way that you'd expect. That is coming up next as we wrap it up with Last Call.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
And I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today. Car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Well, over the weekend, the Red Sox had one of those Zoom media sessions, and Fitzy was on the air and made a good decision, I think, or somebody back there did. Let's pick it up and put the Zoom media session live on the air. Why not? Heim Bloom's going to speak, all right? So Sean McAdam was asking a question to Heim Bloom. Meanwhile, Fitzy was still on the air and not realizing that his microphone was being picked up as part of the Zoom session.
You know, we love Jackie, and we've stayed in touch, you know, with Scott on him throughout the entire winter.
This is traditionally a
time. All right, you were listening to Red Sox Chief of Baseball Operations.
Is that it?
Sorry. Wait, go ahead, Sean.
This is traditionally a time of year when
is your,
teams take a look at,
I would say,
some
like main focus. What is the first big question?
Wait a second. I'm a little confused right now.
Fitzy's talking to the producer at the time.
Don't raise your hands. Hold on. Stop. We can go a little bit longer. So he's doing his show.
Yes.
They chimed into the live Zoom, and when they cut out of it, like, they were actually on the Zoom. Like, he's like, all right, that was Heim Bloom.
Okay.
And meanwhile, their conversation between Sean and Heim, they were like, wait a minute, what is that? And they're listening to Fitzy.
I was like, this is stupid.
And he didn't mute
so,
out.
So that's when they
mute
kept
out
stopping.
His microphone. And so he was all part of it.
I get it now.
Yeah.
It's funny now.
Sean's like, okay.
It's funny.
Okay.
It's funny. I get it.
Tell Sean was getting irritated. Couldn't you tell Sean was getting irritated? Hi, Mutt.
What's up? What's up, Big O?
Hey, Mutt. How are you?
Was it Glenn O and the Gentleman?
Yes.
Next up at 2 o'clock.
Lou O and the Gentleman.
And the other gentleman.
Are you really a gentleman?
No, I was like, I guess it's a compliment.
I would say so.
I mean,
if someone called me a gentleman, I would take it as a compliment.
Sure. Even if they were wrong.
It means you hold doors. Say please and thank you. Hold doors.
Yeah.
You don't fart.
I went to Wachusett over the weekend.
You did too?
I was basically you, just sitting there.
I did it yesterday at the show.
Again?
No, Shoba.
Oh,
this
went to the Shoba.
But the same thing. I just stood there. My wife and my 8-year-old skied. He's already a better skier than I am, and I just watched the little guy. That's it. That's all you do.
Did you lose the little guy, gentlemen?
What's that?
Did you lose anybody?
Well, we had to go to Lost and Found to find him, but they just run around.
Yeah,
like
that'd be good if you want to lose. What do you got tonight?
Glenn, we got quarterbacks for the next 6 months of our life. That's all we're talking about is quarterbacks.
What did you think of Cam today?
I thought Cam, he made a lot of sense. Made a lot of sense because COVID affects that right hand and that right arm passing the football. So I'm
especially
back in on
week
Cam.
14, 15, 16.
Nobody should be backing on Cam. You guys are 1,000% right. This is, especially you, Christian. The spin now is not even funny anymore.
No.
It's kind of embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Kind of embarrassing, yeah. So we'll do
High
that.
High Road Cam.
Andy Hart will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll do a lot of quarterback stuff.
Good.
Boys.
Terrific. Mud at Night coming up next. By the way, later on in the week, Red Sox manager Alex Cora will be joining us. If you missed any of today's show, don't forget you can listen on demand on the free radio.com app. Just text app to 37937. Gentlemen. Well, at least one gentleman, and you, Lou. We'll do it again tomorrow, 2 p.m. Be here. Stay safe, folks.
Dale and Keith, 10 to 2. Dale and Keith.
Yesterday, Heim Bloom, holding a media session for the very first time, had an issue with somebody who didn't understand the whole mute button thing.
Red Sox chief of baseball operations, Heim Bloom, with one of his first media availabilities.
Sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
It's simple rules.
And you know what? That's for trading Mookie, you son of a blank.
Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.